giddy mood because he got to watch the Packers game yesterday on my phone driving home before he drove off the road. Reflect
those of sweet!
Its affiliates or
its sponsors. Oh, settle down.
he was still on the road.
That's good.
I was basically on the road.
He was basically...
just not on the drive.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Oh, it is definitely Monday today. So, but it's 6 o'clock, which means you are listening to the Odyssey Files here on Para-X. I am your one of the co-hosts, Mike Lunio, my other co-host, who is with me on time and even early today, Mr. Dave Soering. Good evening, Dave.
How are you, Mike? You look stressed. You look stressed today, buddy.
I am very stressed today. It's been a long day, but
long weekend.
It was a very long weekend.
Yeah,
Dave and I went down to Dubuque again, as we have done many, many times in the past couple months, and we even have our guest tonight, Mr. Jim Winter from Dubuque.
Hello,
hello, Jim.
Thank you. I appreciate the cheering section.
Yep.
Yep. You got it from half of us.
Yes. Well, I didn't expect it from you, so it's okay.
Well, you know how I hate to disappoint.
Yes.
So the reason why Jim is on is a couple months ago. Well, actually, you know, it started back at Edinburgh Manor back in April. Jim was with us at the 2-day event that my paranormal team, Odyssey Paranormal Society, hosted. Was there as a journalist to do a story on it, and from there it just kind of snowballed on both of us into this weird relationship of the paranormal, and so I actually decided, what, month and a half ago, 2 months ago?
About so, that.
Something along those lines.
About 8 weeks, yep.
Yeah, that I would start a new chapter of my paranormal team in his city of Dubuque. We've done a...
We.
No, I decided to do the team.
Right, I decided first on Dubuque. So that's a 50-50 split. So,
okay, we'll do it 50-50 split on that one.
Okay, on that one.
But
you still get to control the team. I get bragging rights for the location. So
I don't get any of that credit.
No, you don't. The only thing you did was complain enough to me that you did not have any sort of paranormal representation down there that gave me the idea that I would put one there for you.
So you felt sorry for me.
I didn't feel sorry for you. I felt sorry for the people of Dubuque.
Gotcha.
I felt sorry for you, Jim.
Thank you, Dave.
Dave is the compassionate one.
I am.
He is.
I am the jack horse that just kind of throws things in motion.
Yep.
for better terminology, I guess you want to say. So we started out, I had to find people for him. So a quick posting on Facebook got us what I wanted, which was three men, three women, a nice team of six, and asked Dave to help me train them. Nothing?
Yes.
From any?
No, I didn't want to. I thought you were going to continue to roll. I'm sorry. So, yes, you did ask me to help, and I was more than glad to help you put together a solid team for Jim.
So
and to help that, you, obviously you're my good friend. So
yes. So it's very important when selecting new investigators that their mentalities are proper. That they're not out there, that they're not quote unquote ghost hunters. Because I don't know why. I absolutely despise that term. It's like the derogatory. It's like you're being discriminatory. You know, that it's is like that.
If I can chime in for just 1 second,
absolutely.
It's the C word of the Paranormal Investigation Society.
Yes. Yep.
To me too, especially. I absolutely hate when I hear that term.
Yeah.
If anybody ever steps up to me and says, "Hey, are you one of them Ghostbusters?" You know, they might accidentally fall and hurt themselves somehow. I don't know how, just accidentally, like trip over a curb or misstep as they're walking or something along those lines.
Unless it's like a 9-year old that.
Well,
that
9-year olds fall too. 9-year olds fall too.
I just want to let everybody know in our listening audience that I have absolutely no idea what Dave is talking about. We'll never have any idea what Dave is talking about, and I do not condone any sort of falling of little children.
Me either. Jim, you're bringing that out in me.
Yep, I know. I'm sorry.
That's why he belongs with the dead people, because the living people just have nothing but darkness when he's around. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I cast a pall. It's okay.
So, Jim, just let me ask you.
Sure.
Now, I know we had you on for the Edinburgh show to talk about that.
Right.
To talk about that experience that you had. And mm-hmm. I asked you then, you know, what made you, you know, interested in the paranormal. But right. What made you want to actually follow me into this? And, you know, when I was like, "Jim, I'm going to build a team in Dubuque, you know, do you want to be the lead investigator?" You know, what made you want to, like, actually take up that mantle?
Sure. Well, I guess part of it was just being honored that, you know, I'd only been on a couple of investigations with you. And at that point, you felt comfortable enough coming to me and saying, "Hey, I'm forming a new chapter in Dubuque, and I'd like you to be the lead investigator and kind of take the reins there with my direction." And so I was, you know, humbled and honored that you decided to come to me and ask me to do that. And to me, going with you to Edinburgh and Farrar, that was one level of investigation where I was still kind of an outsider and viewing what you were doing and learning that way. But the chance to still train with you and Dave and lead a team here in Dubuque, to me, that was just another level of paranormal investigation where I could get even more knowledge and dive even further into paranormal investigation.
Sweet. So I'm going to put you on the spot here because I find it amusing to do so. Now, keeping in mind that over half of them are probably listening, what is your opinion or thoughts on the people that I found for you?
Sure. Do you want me to go by individual or talk as a group as the whole?
Just as an individual. Just in general.
In general. I think our group of people are great. We have people who have previous paranormal investigation experience, which is always good to have on a new team. We have a couple people on the team who are very scientific-minded, logical thinkers, which is very good to have because we're going to be the people who try and go in and prove something, try and debunk something before we go to the paranormal side of it. We have a couple people who are brand new to it, haven't really done anything like that before, and they're learning on the fly, and we get to mold them and teach them the right way the first time and don't have to try and overcome things that they've learned before. So I think it's a really good mix of people from all different backgrounds different ages, different life experiences. And from what I've seen so far, it's come together really well.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. And I even found you a scapegoat.
Yes.
Somebody that we can pick on.
Yes. You know,
and blame for everything, even though it's right. clearly not their fault.
Correct.
And so far, he hasn't quit, so
no, he's good for not. Us. No, he's taking
it in stride.
He's taking it in stride.
And if you're listening, that's a good job, buddy.
A good job. You're doing a fine job.
You are.
He's our comic.
Mr. Scapegoat. He's
our comic foil. Yeah.
He's kind of like Mike and I with our serving tray.
Yes.
Yes. Which he's not going to like that I say that, but he's not listening right now, so I don't care. but the host after me, Mr. Matt Gesso, who is a representative with my team, as well up here in the Twin Cities, his nickname is Serving Tray. So... if anybody that listens to his show is listening and wants to call him that, you'll have to tell me what his reaction is, because I really need to laugh. So, yeah, we're maybe we should just start, not Matt, but our scapegoat. Maybe we should start calling him Scapegoat.
No.
Sure. We've given him many other nicknames. So.
Well, that's true. I mean, it's like every meeting we give him another nickname.
Yeah. Something fun. Like, scapegoat is kind of like a derogatory term. It's right. Got to be something fun and lighthearted, you know.
I still like French silk or
why don't
French
you like fun, Dave?
I do. No, I love fun. Absolutely love fun. I just don't think that scapegoat is a good word.
It's not. I'm just carrying on my poor humor from last week, so everybody will have to forgive me for a few minutes. So we have already had two investigations, historical locations, with this team. The first one, the evidence will actually be kind of released. Later this week. It was unbelievable, but all the sheer amount and the quality of it is unbelievable. Everybody is just going to have to stay tuned for that. But Jim found us the Grand Opera House in Dubuque and took it upon himself to set it up for us. But what actually made you select that place, Jim?
That place has, throughout the years, it's been a mainstay in Dubuque. It's a historic building. It's a very unique architecture-wise, and I like places that have a lot of history. And it's a place that has had claims. And to my knowledge, a real paranormal team had never gone in there to investigate. So it was a prime opportunity to mix history and try and find out about some claims and go to a location that there has been other paranormal events in the building, but not a real scientific paranormal investigation.
Nice. What were your thoughts about the investigation? Just the investigation specifically.
Meaning just how it went overall?
Well, I mean, what were your thoughts of it? I mean, because we had a lot of personal experiences. Be my guest and talk about them and kind of your thoughts about them.
Sure. I had a lot of personal experiences there. Some of those personal experiences matched exactly claims that were on the building before, as far as footsteps across the stage. Hearing voices here and there. And the cool thing for me was not only did we get those kind of personal experiences that validated some of the claims that had already been known about the building, but we experienced things that weren't claims before. Transistor radio sounds going off in the auditorium, disembodied voices in the paint room, things like that no one really had noted before. So it was really cool for me to bring that team in there and have that level of experience on our first investigation kind of set the tone going forward. And I think it's also going to set the tone for our team with further investigations in Dubuque as we go along.
That's right. That's right. Here's a question I don't ask very, very often because... No, it's not bad. It's just that I guess I don't... I don't really have a reason. not one that won't involve some sort of swearing or whatnot.
Sure.
But your experience doing the investigation and being part of this team in the Opera House.
Yes.
How did that differ from what people would normally see on TV?
It's a much... what you see on TV, it looks like it's a very haphazard process that looks on TV that they really don't do a lot of planning. They just grab their stuff on the fly and go somewhere. They don't really think things out. Whereas with our investigation, we have a tried and true method of why we do things. We have a claims to check out. We figure out equipment, who's going to go where, what they're going to do. And then those teams individually, when they go out, they kind of form a game plan on their own as well. After they investigate what they need to, they think of other experiments and things to do. And that's not something that's really captured on TV. It looks like it's much more haphazard on television. And I think the other thing is on television, it's meant to be more theatrical and more dramatic, and they respond to things in a much different way than we did. I believe all of us, all six of us, and you two, we do this to try and gather scientific proof, scientific evidence of the paranormal, and we're not in it for the drama and the excitement. And we don't, when we capture a great piece of evidence, we get pumped up about that, but we don't go overboard and get all excited and emotional about it.
Now, hold on. We do get very excited.
Wait a second.
Yeah,
now.
But not overly excited like they do on television.
No. Well, That's not true, because when we got that piece of Skype, when we got the FLIR, because I'm freezing up, I can't even see you guys anymore, so if I go by the wayside, I'll be right back on. But sure. When we got that FLIR evidence, I literally jumped out of my seat and was like fist pumping in the air. So
sure, but that was after the fact.
I still get excited about phenomenal evidence that we catch.
Oh, sure. So do I.
So Dave jumped out of his chair, and that's not easy for him to do at this present moment.
No. Well, between my size and my back injury, Mike was like shocked that I was like actually up in the air. He was like, "Oh my God, are you okay? Sit down, relax."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've only seen the FLIR footage 115 times already, so it's not that big of a deal to me. I don't know what you're getting so excited about.
Well, yeah, exactly. For anybody who gets to see it coming up here in the future, it's an absolutely beautiful, beautiful piece of evidence. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. It's not only does it back up our personal experiences, but it backs up all of the claims from the Opera House. And it's like one step below the whole grail of paranormal experience. So.
I just want to point out right now, Dave, because, oh, you ruined it.
What? You're all frozen on my screen.
Well, no, I know, but you were frozen, and the way that your face looked when it froze.
Yeah,
I was gonna describe it to you because it's hilarious, and then just as I was about to start, you unfroze and ruined it for me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You look like a zombie.
Did I look like a zombie? Yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah, I'm like, you were like pulling your ear, and your eyes were closed, and your mouth was like partway open, and it was pretty hilarious.
All right. Well, I'm glad I could make your evening enjoyable.
Well, this section of my evening.
Yeah. I love you, Skype. I love you, Skype.
No, we hate you. Skype sucks. So what this is obviously a very long process in training you and training the team. So I have a two-part question.
Sure.
What is it you are most looking forward to learn? And what do you think for you personally is going to be the hardest thing for you to learn?
Sure. I think I'm most looking forward to learning how to do the entire process and putting it all together into one investigation where our team is handling it all. As we're learning now, we're learning each part of the process and going forward, and we're learning in pieces. So the first time that we get to put all that together and we're kind of leading the charge on that is going to be really exciting. I think the thing that's going to be the most I think at the same time, that's also going to be the most difficult, because we're learning in pieces. And that first time when we learn, when we do it all together, there's probably going to be a couple things that we don't quite do the right way or forget, but it's going to be a learning process going forward. But I'm really excited to see what this team can do after we get more investigations under our belt and we start ramping it up a little bit.
Sweet.
What did you guys practice these questions before you got on tonight?
No, we didn't. I'm coming up with them as I go along.
Okay. I'm just asking if maybe you guys had some behind the scene moments here without me, because Jim is just like totally like ready for every question. So I know I didn't practice. Well, so I got to think of a good one now, and I'm going to pull one out of left field for you, Jim. So you just be patient. Well,
just remember, I am a trained journalist. I'm trained in interview skills. So.
Okay. Now, but all right. Dave, right before your question, let me just point out that, you know, whereas Jim might have looked very, very prepared and ready for that question, he chose the broadest answer humanly known that he could have. Well, what do you think is going to be the hardest, and what do you most looking for? I'm looking forward to everything.
Yeah.
And well, everything is going to be the hardest thing to do.
No, I can answer that a little more specifically, but I think the thing I'm looking forward to is when we get enough investigations under our belt, where you as our director feel comfortable for us to do our first house investigation, and we actually get to go in there and actually help somebody in Dubuque or in our area, help somebody, and because I know that's the ultimate purpose of this group, is to help people. And so to me, that's going to be a big thrill when we're able to go into a house, conduct an investigation like that, and help somebody and come away knowing, hey, we just did all this work, and now we finally got to help somebody. And I think that's going to be just a rush when that happens.
It is. My apologies, Dave. Go ahead with your out of left field question.
That's okay. So this goes hand in hand with kind of what you said. What you used that kind of actually somewhat answered my question. So what do you think is going to be? What do you think is going to be your biggest challenge when you actually get to the threshold of going from a historic location with Mike and I kind of there as your safety net right now?
Sure.
Because like in the second half of where we just were, obviously, like I threw you the reins and I said, I'm here for you if you need me to be, but you do what you're, let me see what you can do. So,
sure.
So when it comes time and we're actually not there, okay, and you go from a historic location that has claims to somebody who's experiencing things like scratching, let's say getting shoved down a flight of stairs, not able to sleep, the constant feeling of being watched and stuff like that. Without having experienced any of that so far, obviously, what's your mindset going into that? And I don't mean to put you on the spot with that, but I'm just kind of curious. And I'm sure, as our guest, we get to pick on you. So, no broad answers. So what's your thoughts going into a situation where it's actually going to kind of take the potential is going to be there for a little bit of a combat type of situation.
Certainly. Yeah. You started saying what I think my biggest challenge is going to be with you guys.
Yeah. I think what's your biggest challenge? And I mean, you're going to be running the team yourself at that time. So, I mean, obviously you're going to be responsible for the safety of those guys with you. So.
Exactly. I think the biggest challenge for me is going to be, going into a situation like that and trying to keep everybody on the team on the same page in line with what we've been trained to do and making sure that everybody feels comfortable to investigate and do their part that they need to do to have a successful investigation. I'm sure it's going to happen with team members who are going to get overly excited or may even get scared. And I'm going to be the person who's going to have to remind them we're here to do this. We need to keep our cool. Remember what Dave and Mike taught us and try and keep them in line. So I think that's probably going to be the biggest challenge is going to an investigation like that, where we're going to have to do things in a private home that we haven't done in a public place. And at the same time, keeping everybody on the same page and calm and collected and reminding them what we need to do to get this done.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So, so in that situation, you're going to be more or less the, you'll kind of be their safety net. So when they start freaking out, Correct. You're going to be like, hey, relax. It's okay. Yep. You know? Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
And I think the other challenge I have just personally, and my patience level with people who don't listen is small, minimal. So that's going to be something where I'm going to be very similar to Mike. And if people aren't doing what they're supposed to do, there's not going to be much leeway. And I'm going to have to come down on them and say, you know what, we're here to do this. We need to stop doing that. So
good.
That's part of me right now that is not coming out because I'm right now an elite investigator and you guys are there training and that Mike is kind of taking that role as the director and as he should. But right. So when we get to that point, there's going to be a slight change in how that happens. So,
okay. Well, good.
So, Jim. Oh, sorry, Dave.
No, I was just going to say that's good. I, you know, because obviously if you have to crack the whip occasionally right. to kind of keep people in line and it's not so much keeping people in line. It's good in that situation that I just kind of painted for you. It's going to be keeping people safe.
Right.
It's going to be keeping your team safe, you know, not letting them step into some boundary, overstep some boundary that they know they shouldn't be for a cheap thrill and then causing some type of situation to happen that is going to jeopardize and potentially harm more than just one individual.
Right.
So, okay. Which is why Mike and I harp on provocation and no provoking.
Exactly. No, I will not allow that. Will not be allowed or tolerated.
Okay. So Jim.
Yes.
Let's say that everybody gets through the training, and Dave and I are gone. We're lounging, you know, at our respective homes, you know, watching Saturday night TV while you guys are having an investigation down in Dubuque.
Right.
And one of your teammates starts freaking out. You know, they just sure. saw a black shadow, like just with red eyes, just stare at them, you know, from mm-hmm. 2 feet in front of their face.
Sure.
How would you react? What would you do?
I would go up to that person and ask them to tell me exactly what they saw, what they were feeling, how they were feeling when it happened. And then I would try with them to either prove or disprove what they were feeling or seeing and talk to the team about it. It's a democratic dictatorship. Where that's what I call it. It's where you get team input, but the lead guy still makes the final decision, and it may not be what everybody agrees with, or might be they might disagree. But yeah, you have to touch base with the person who saw what they saw and gather information from them first. Check out the environment where they saw it. See if there can be anything to say. Oh, it was just taillights from a car 500 feet away, or whatever. And then after you do those two things, then you move on and you can go from there. But
gotcha. And where would you talk to this person and get the information?
Where? Where it happened. Unless there was a dangerous situation and affecting other people on the team, and then I would move them somewhere else.
Further training is suggested.
Great.
You leave the area immediately. You get them out of that location, right. outside the house, outside the location, and then right. you talk to them.
Yes, if they feel in danger, yes. Yes. By all means, you remove them from the situation. We've done that before. But if they don't feel, they just say, hey, I saw something, and they don't feel they're in danger or anyone else is, then...
Well, if they're freaking out, they probably...
Yes, of course.
If they're freaking out, they're probably...
Right.
feel like they're in some sort of danger. Yes.
And we've had to do that before on an investigation I've been with you on. So I know that process is definitely important to do.
But you didn't say I've been a that, part of that in your answer. I'm going to be testing you, Jim.
I know you are. Go right ahead. You're
going to have to start picking up when I'm laying down.
Mm-hmm. Well, I prefer the phrase catching what you're throwing, but that's okay.
Well, whatever. If Dave can say I was born ready, then I can say you need to pick up what I'm laying down.
All right.
Well, no, I was told like, wait a minute. I was told I can't say I was born ready anymore.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. Because the look on your face when I said that was never say that again. And so I'm like, well, if you get to say that, then I get to say what I just said.
Yeah. All right. Well, then it's cool because I like the term I was born ready. So I'm going to continue saying that. Mike, you can say that all you want. It's an
awful, awful freaking line. Oh, I hate that line. Oh. All right. So on that note, we're going to go to our first and only commercial break. And then we'll be back to talk about a topic that is getting all of us exceptionally excited. Paracon 2017. So we will be back in a few minutes. You're listening to the Odyssey Files on Para X.
Hi, this is Master Tarot Card Reader Ken Bogle, and I highly encourage you to tune in every Monday night to the Para X Radio Network for the Para Cave, hosted by Matt Gesso, as he goes in search of the truth in the supernatural, metaphysical, mystic, and paranormal. Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, only on the Para X Radio Network. I never miss it, and neither should you.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the Para X Radio Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para X.
This is Dana Mitchell from Ghost of Shepherdstown. When visiting Shepherdstown, be sure to look up my Shepherdstown Mysteries Walk, where a story can be told, but a mystery must be experienced. I've got Dave and Mike on my VIP list, so you can join too.
Good old Dana. I do enjoy that. I just played her commercial.
Nice.
Yes. I figured it was the least I could do since I completely unintentionally insulted her at the end of last week's show. So,
yeah.
We're not going to dwell on that.
It was an accident.
It was an accident. It was my fault for trying to combine like three different jokes and making fun of Matt. So completely my fault. I take all the credit for that one. So Thursday at noon, Jim, Dave, Mr. Matt Gesso, and myself are leaving the Twin Cities and headed up to Monelman, Minnesota. To the Shooting Star Casino. Why? Because why?
Why?
It was a suspenseful why. I didn't actually want you to answer it.
Oh, sorry.
No, sorry. Because Paracon 2017 is going on. This is our first year. This team was formed obviously before last year, but I never even gave it much thought, and then all of a sudden I had an investigation actually planned like that weekend, so we weren't able to go. But this year is going to be different. So for those of you who are on the fence, or maybe you don't think you can focus, it's Jim, you looked at tickets, didn't you? Wasn't it like 75 for 2 days?
It's $75 for 2 days. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not bad. There's going to be a ton of information. I mean, that's a worthy investment, honestly, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you're low on financials or whatever, you know, do you really need water? You know, does the trash really need to get picked up?
Right.
You know,
and you can swallow your spit.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
So, I mean, there's fluids.
You know, your neighbors are going to run the sprinklers for, you know, another couple weeks. So there's your shower right there.
There's your opportunity to grab your body scrubby and your soft soap and run out there and grab a quick one. Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, you know, and if you want to skip on the electrical bill, you know, run a line from your neighbor's house. They won't care.
You poach it off the garage. That's the easiest way, just so you know, especially if they have the outdoor outlets.
Sure.
Yeah, like where they want to run their Christmas, they want to run their Christmas lights and stuff. You just sneak a electrical cord over there. Don't use the orange ones though; they're easily seen from a distance.
And that must for food, all you need to do is buy tapioca pudding that has rice in it and it's sweet, so it takes care of dessert and dinner. You're good.
Right.
So I was just going to comment that it must be a popular thing in Dubuque to do that, because Dave was like, you know, run it out of their garage. I was, and Jim's just like, yep, that's how you do it.
Yep, pretty much.
I knew I liked Dubuque for some reason.
So there's obviously a lot of para-celebs. I don't know if that's their actual term or just something I coined. I'm not positive on either of those. You know, there's a lot there, that a lot of ones that are going to be there that I'm looking forward to. One in particular, I absolutely am not, but, you know, maybe we'll get to that later. I'm not sure. Jim, who are you most forward, para-celeb wise, looking forward to seeing there?
Probably Jason Hawes and his Ghost Hunters team. That was years ago when I was first interested in the paranormal. That was the first show I watched, so I kind of got a loyalty to him. And Josh Gates too. I liked him on Fact or Faked. That was one of my favorite shows when it was on too. So,
but probably those. What? Yeah. Josh Gates was never on Fact or Faked. He was Destination Truth.
Oh, that's right.
Jim.
My bad.
I'm just gonna hang up on you right now.
Yeah,
that's fine. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, everybody. Jim's having some technical difficulties. he will no longer be able to join us for the rest of this conversation.
It's not like he was on Thursday's VIP dinner.
Yes, I'm interested to see what that's like, and who actually like shows up non-vendor, you know, like us, and if it's one of those ones where you all just kind of mingle, or if it's, you know, a line of people who want autographs and crap, and you can't get more than, you know, 10 words in before they have to go to the next person that wants to talk to them. I'm really interested to see what that's like.
Well, I'm bringing a dozen brand new Sharpies. So if there's going to be a line for autographs, I'm jumping right in between Josh and Grant.
Yes.
and then I'm just signing everything. I'm just signing. They won't even know. It doesn't matter. They don't know who I am. It's irrelevant. I'm still signing everything I can get my hands on.
Actually, I wonder if anybody has ever one either tried something like this, or how it would be taken. But I would seriously love to, like, if I ever saw an empty chair between, you know, like Grant and Josh, as you just used, I would come down. I would slam down, like, you know, 5 magic markers. And I'd be like, you guys ready to sign? I'm ready to sign. And just sit down and act like, You're right there, and everybody's going to come up and want to talk to me or you know, whoever the one was doing it.
Yep.
I wonder how that would be taken.
And I mean, we'll find out. We'll find out on Friday.
Yeah, if we're still allowed.
Yeah.
I've had a former job in high school. I had a policy pretty much put into place because of me. So I wonder if I could get Paracon to put a new rule in, because, you know, with every rule, you know, there was somebody that did it.
Yes.
And that was why.
Yes.
Probably. It was probably Matt, though. We can always blame Serving Tray.
Well, yes. Well, yeah. It was Matt's fault.
So Jason Hawes, huh?
Yeah.
And Josh Gates from Factor Faked.
No, nope, Destiny. I misspoke. I am so sorry.
That's all right.
Although Factor Faked was on, I did watch that show. That was a pretty awesome show. But
it was. In fact, Dave and I were just talking about Ben.
Yep.
On our way home from Dubuque yesterday.
Sure.
So Dave's so this weekend,
I'll personally go up to Josh Gates and told him that I misspoke and apologized to him personally. So, but good.
I think you should shake his hand and be like, I'm sorry. I once thought that you were on Factor Faked.
Yes, I will.
Okay.
Dave, same question
wait
to you.
Wait till Saturday night, though.
No, I don't wait till Saturday night.
No, we don't want to open like that.
No.
Well, okay. Fine. So, Mike, I'm going to put you on the spot. Who are you most excited to see?
Grant and Josh. They're the two. I was really hoping for... I was really looking forward to Amy Allen before she canceled.
I was too.
But definitely Grant Wilson, definitely Josh Gates. I was also really hoping that Katrina was going to be there. But
I knew that was coming out. Yep.
Yeah. I am saddened. It would have been, I really want to meet her, but I have a lot of respect for her. Grant and Josh Gates.
Sweet.
And you?
I would say that mine is a 50-50 coin toss between Josh and the Klings.
The Kling brothers. Ghost.
I hope they show up in their camouflage army fatigue shorts with their flip flops on. And I hope that they're just like, yeah, what's going on? You know? So, but you know, that's kind of who I am when I investigate a little bit. So I'm the guy who's up roaming and talking and don't really care about protocol. And, and that's kind of how they are too. And so I like those guys. So.
Whereas I do want to meet them. I do want to meet the Kling brothers. I'm not, and I was a fan of Ghost Lab, especially the lab itself.
And nobody else had anything like that. That thing was beautiful because nobody had the roaming lab with the huge, like 50-inch flat panel at the time.
Oh,
until we get ours. As I told Jim, when we get our custom made RV, we're getting 70-inch flat panels.
Excellent.
And Mike said that's ridiculous because we only need one. And I said no. one for play. So
right, exactly.
Yeah. See, I knew Jim'd be on my side.
Yeah. No,
and all well, Mac, yeah, he, all Mac he, computers.
He's on your side because he won't be the one paying for it.
How do you know?
Oh,
yeah.
Well, in that case,
maybe I'll find a corporate sponsor for the Dubuque team, and it'll all be taken care of.
We'll see.
Very nice.
If
I'm moving to Dubuque, then if we get a pair of 70-inch flat panels, I'm moving. Sorry, kids.
I am too.
Sorry, kids. I'm apologizing right now. I'm out of here. I'm out of Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even though you're out of Minnesota, you're only 5 hours away from them.
Right. I'll fly him down every weekend.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got to use the corporate credit card to make sure everything stays current.
That's right.
We will have a dedicated euchre table as well.
No, sweet. No, we won't.
Well, I'm there then.
If I'm paying for it,
I am not training you guys to play euchre.
No, that's during the day.
It's a side job.
No, during the day, you're doing all of the evidence review.
Oh, all right.
Or you're researching a location.
Sure.
You won't have time to play euchre.
Maybe we'll play euchre as a trigger object.
How would that even work? Like, what would the claim have to be in order for a euchre table to be,
you know, perhaps we're investigating an abandoned gaming location or somewhere else where playing euchre would be perfectly appropriate.
Yeah,
or an abandoned bingo hall or a community center, something like that. You never know.
Right.
Yeah, I do. I know that you're never going to need a euchre table as a trigger object.
Nope. Okay. I think that the first time that we get to investigate like a packaging plant or like a beer facility that we're busting out the beer darts. I'm just saying.
Oh, sure.
No. Yeah. No.
What?
No. No. No.
Well, they would always play on their lunchtime. That's where beer darts came from.
Yeah, but still, no.
All right.
I'm sure they did a lot of things on their breaks, but we're not breaking out the beer darts unless they're completely empty cans and like plastic darts.
That's not
fun.
I just I seem to recall you telling the story of you playing that and a dart went through somebody's toe. So
yeah, my buddy Mike.
Yeah. So
yeah, not just, this Mike, not you, Mike.
Not me. Because I won't finish that sentence, but we're not. We're not playing drinking games while we're investigating.
Well, I totally agree. That would be heinous.
Correct.
Then why do you look so disappointed, Dave?
Do I look disappointed? I didn't think. I don't know.
You did.
Briefly. My radio face. It's my radio, face.
Well, we all have the faces for radio.
Yeah, we do.
Yes.
The physiques, too. Yeah.
So I want everybody who is going, who's listening, four or five of you that are going to be up at Paracon, I want everybody to stop by our booth. I have no idea where it is. I'm sure that it's probably going to involve a janitor closet. But that's where they put the rookies.
No, I hope we get put right by the bathrooms. Because everybody has to go to the bathroom. That's a great, everybody thinks that's a horrible spot. Like the bathroom and the water fountain, put us right there. That's perfectly fine. Because we're going to get to see five times as many people as everybody else gets to see.
I agree. As long as they don't put us like directly next to the bathroom. So where like they open it and then like that person who had one too many chili dogs, walks out and... within eyesight of the bathroom.
Correct. I'm bringing a can of Febreze though. Just now that you mentioned that, I'm gonna take a can from work, and I'm bringing some Febreze fresh linen scent. So.
Good idea.
Just why fresh linen?
Well, because we only have two scents. It's like fresh linen or like a wet, dirty dog. I think is the other scent. So I just figured I'd go with fresh linen.
That would be awesome. A wet, dirty dog Febreze.
And then just spray it all over as people are walking by. Whew, what's that smell?
Wow. You blew my mind, Dave. I lost my train of thought. But the reason why I want everybody to stop by our booth, number one, we're awesome. So it's going to be well worth your time.
Well, that's first, second, and third, actually.
Well, I mean,
think about it.
I'm there, so that's awesome. Number two, Dave is there, so that's awesome. Number three, Jim is going to be there, so that's awesome.
That's pretty awesome.
Allie from one of the investigators from Dubuque, she's going to be there, so that's awesome. So, number five. we're going to have all of our equipment out. If anybody that's been to my paranormal team's website, odysseyparanormalsociety.com, cheap plug, that's all going to be out there, including the FLIR. Going to have it all charged up in case, you want to go, how about this? Autograph an autographed FLIR photo of Josh Gates.
Oh, there you go.
That would be sweet.
That'd be hot.
that would get some juices flowing. Pardon my vulgarity. We're gonna have all that out there. We're probably gonna have a stand for I don't know if you want to call it a stand or whatever, the station. probably having some of like our best evidence, EVP wise and whatnot. And then even though I'm not going to say what it is, we are debuting a really, really cool project that we have been working on for the past couple months. It's going to be well worth your time. And I really hope that everybody is going to enjoy it as much as we all do. So I'm really looking forward to that. But yeah, so make sure that you you stop by and you say hi. In fact, mention this broadcast and you will get yourself a free high five.
I prefer fist pumps, so
get that. Whatever. You know, we can have a dollar menu.
Sure.
So it's fine. You know, fist pump.
Wow.
High five. You know, maybe we'll even throw
in. I don't even have anything to say about that.
Like the you know, after you go knuckle, you know, that kind of thing.
Fist pump fireworks.
Fist pump, no fist pump fireworks. Absolutely refuse to do. Just out of principle.
Maybe I can snag a whole bunch of $5 match play blackjack coupons when I walk in. So if you do come to the booth, you know, and you go and get the high five and you're like, ooh, yeah, that was great. And then you get the fireworks fist bump and you go, ooh, yeah, that was great. Come over and say hi to me and I'll give you a $5 match play blackjack coupon. So,
no, you won't. You won't have those.
Well, come over and say hi and see if I do or don't.
Make sure you say while supplies last. So
okay, while supplies last.
Yes. So if somebody comes over and gives you that fist bump, says hi to you, you can be like, "I'm all out."
Yeah,
should have been here earlier.
I gave my one away.
You're one. So is there anybody? And I'm bringing this up for a very specific reason. Is there anybody you're not at all interested in seeing at Paracon?
Are you asking me or are you asking
Jeff? Doesn't matter. Either one of you. Shout it out.
I'm good.
All right, so I'm going to jump in. I'm going to jump in here first, and I'm going to say no.
Oh.
There's nobody that there's nobody who's going to be on the schedule that I'm not interested in at least saying hi to, you know, meeting them and saying hi to. So no. I know.
Okay, fine. It's just Jim's, me then.
Jim's running through the house, getting his exercise.
Yes, I am. Yep.
Yeah. So Jim, you're going to agree with Dave then?
Well, yes, I am.
He's getting comfortable now because I'm not sure where, like, he just like roamed into the master bedroom to answer this question. I'm not sure what's going to happen there. I don't know. Maybe he's excited about this question, and so he had to leave the kitchen to go to the master bedroom, or what?
No, that's not it. I just have family coming home, so I want to go in a quiet spot so I can give all my attention to Mike, like I always do.
All right.
No, I'm looking.
I love the fact that you just said me, not you guys, or you know, like you and Mike, or you and Dave.
Oh, sure. Just
give all of my attention to Mike. I'd like
seeing
that.
Seeing Dave is a treat because it doesn't happen all the time. Seeing you much more often can sometimes be a treat. Sometimes it's not. So that's the way I had to approach that. But I'm looking forward to seeing everybody there because it's my first time going, and it'd be great. Sorry.
It's all right.
You do have to remember, though. You do have to remember that back in time, okay,
yeah,
the trio actually put together the first documentary that showed the holy grail of paranormal investigating.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, so
we caught
no matter how it's digressed since then,
Angel,
it still is. I still have to give respect to the fact that they, you know, they were the first team who found that piece and brought it to the forefront and really, you know, and really opened up a whole lot of channels with that documentary. So,
and if they would have stopped there, everybody would have been happy, but they didn't.
They were trailblazers, Mike.
Mike is speaking for himself at the moment, just so everybody knows.
That's fine. Yes. No, I am the cheese in this instance, and the cheese stands alone, which is fine. Hmm. Basically, we're referring to Mr. Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures. I do not want to see him. I do not want to talk to him. In fact, Dave and I, we were having the conversation this weekend about if I had one question I could ask him, what would it be? And it would definitely be, when are you going to cancel your show?
Wow, I thought that'd be number two.
What would be number one? So, why are you in front of me?
So, a little bit stronger language, but yeah.
Jim, just so you know.
Yes.
When you and I walk over and say hi and stuff and get the quick, the selfie, the cheesy selfie, right. Like, hey, what's going on, man? I'm going to tell him, by the way, a good friend of mine has an absolutely great question for you, and he's down at the Odyssey Paranormal booth. So when you get a free minute, run down there and say hi. His name's Mike.
Yep.
We'll see if Mike's bite is as bad as his bark. We'll see if that happens.
Actually, I don't know if I could do it or not. For some reason, people still think that he's something. So pissing him off during our first year might not be the best course of action, regardless of how satisfying that might be.
I gave you the perfect scenario on the way home. So
I can't remember what that scenario was.
Oh yes, you do. It's when we invite him down to watch our video. I'm not going to replay it for you because it was a little abrasive. So
yep, no, I understand. Yep.
Yep.
By the way, Jerry wants to know if anybody here is looking forward to seeing him.
Oh, Crickets? Jerry? Is Jerry going to be there?
Yeah. Jerry's going to be there.
Oh, all right. Sweet. Jerry, I'm looking forward to seeing you, buddy. I'll see you there. I'll stop by your booth and say hi.
That's why.
If we can find it. I think after last year, he might be in the janitorial closet next to ours.
Maybe.
Kidding, Jerry. You're going to be right next to us. I just know it. So that's fine. Okay. Well, there's only 3 minutes left. So any final words of encouragement for our good buddy Jim, Dave?
I think that the other night when the first half of our time that we got to spend together, I kind of took the lead and just threw some things past him and let him watch me do stuff and how I'd like to do it and whatnot. And then, second half of the evening, I basically did our opening statement and then just asked some very kind of pointed, specific questions. Made a few statements, and then I just kind of turned the reins over, and I thought and I'm not saying this because we're on the radio show and you're our guest, but I thought that he did a really nice job of taking over for the second half of the night. You and I don't get to spend as much time together as you and Mike do, obviously,
unfortunately,
but when I met. From the first time I met you to where you are today, you definitely are absorbing an absolute ton of information. And I think that's fantastic, and you're absorbing a whole lot of like really good habits and practices for somebody coming into the paranormal field. And I think that's also really good. And as you know, I absolutely hate the term paranormal expert because there is no such thing as a paranormal expert.
Nope.
But I do believe that I have a decent concept of what is right and wrong. And as I have taught Mike and as Mike has expanded on that with his own personal thoughts between the two of us, if you believe in us, I think that you're going to, take the best of the two of us, add your own personal twist to it and create something beautiful on your own. And that's kind of what I feel is happening. So
great. Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You must have missed the first word I said when I said quick.
Oh, did you say quick?
I said quick. Well, that's quick advice.
That's an absolutely asinine word to throw past me because, you know me, I don't do anything quick. So.
Yes, I do. And now that we're out of time completely,
all right.
We will turn it over to, well, it seems to be that Mr. Snack Tray is not going to be on tonight. So live anyway. So
well, let's take his hour. All right, we're taking his hour.
No, sorry, we can't. So for all of us here at the Odyssey Files, I hope to see everybody on Friday and Saturday this week. If not, we'll see you next week on here. Have a good night, everyone.